You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, that's a comfort, isn't it? We hear from three prophets this morning. There's a preliminary question to this homily. The first question is, why do we read the scriptures? Is it because we want to do an exercise in ancient literature? Is it because we want to make a study of the religious attitudes of Israel and the ancient world, the Roman Empire? Is it because we want to know how God spoke to them in their time and place? Or is it because the scriptures are a living word that is addressed to us and meant to have an effect on us, to change our lives, and to make us rethink the way we live? I think it's, of course, the last reason. All of those other things are, of course, helpful. You need to understand a little bit about ancient literature and the history of Israel and the Roman Empire and all of the culture that surrounded the scriptures, and you need to know what God was saying to the people of that time. We need to understand it in its context. But that's not why we read it. We read it because we want to be changed, because we want to be affected by it. So how do we hear these three voices, these three prophets, like three tenors, the three tenors that sing in harmony, these three voices of these three prophets, how do we hear them today? We have John the Baptist, we have Paul, we have Isaiah. John the Baptist this morning is the most severe. He thunders at the people. He's baptizing them in the Jordan. And they're coming out there to confess their sins. And he's saying to them, get ready. God is coming. The axe is already laid to the root of the tree. The grain has already been ground out on the threshing floor. And he's going to get out his fan and blow away the chaff. You know, that's how they sort out the grain from the chaff, the little pieces of grass. The rest of it just gets blown away, and they blow it to one end and then throw it all into the fire. He said that's what he's going to do. He's going to get out his winnowing fan and collect up the chaff and throw that into the fire. And then he'll collect up the grain, the good part, and keep that. And Isaiah is saying, God's judgment is coming, but when God comes, he will establish a reign that will be different, a vision of peace and justice. And Paul is saying to the Gentiles and the Jews that he's writing to in Rome, in that Roman church, he's saying, if you really are in Christ, then you will be in harmony with each other. And the Gentile and Jew, former enemies, will be at peace. That's what they're saying to their own time and place. But how are we hearing it? And how does it affect us? This is how I hear it. I hear Matthew's gospel with John the Baptist talking to me. I think when he says to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you brood of vipers, he's talking to all the professional religious all around the world, to all of the deacons and priests and bishops and popes, to all of the imams and pastors, all of the leaders of religion, the Sufi masters and the Buddhist monks and the gurus, everybody who pretends to speak for God. I think John the Baptist is saying to all of us, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Produce some evidence of your own repentance. What's the evidence of your repentance? It isn't just about words. In other words, he's saying to you, all you religious leaders, all this talk, 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 all of your disputes, I mean, it's important that Matthew says, this is why you have to understand the culture, Matthew says, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were coming to John the Baptist. These are guys that are in competition with each other. They don't like each other. They have theological disputes. They have these finissima disputes over what God wants of us They're both coming for the same baptism of repentance. And I think John the Baptist has no time for all these theological disputes. He says, you guys are completely missing the point. What God wants is some evidence of your repentance, some good work which shows where your heart is. And he doesn't really care about all your theories about what God wants. And he says to them, don't presume that just because you are sons of Abraham that you have some special privilege. Don't say, well, Abraham is our father. You can't. And he's saying to me, don't presume on your baptism. I think he's saying to all of us leaders of religion, don't. So what about your ordination? So what about the fact that you think you're a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek? So what about all of this authority that you think you have? Produce some evidence of your own repentance. That's how I hear it addressed to me. And Isaiah, him with his vision of God's holy mountain, him with his vision of peace, the wolf will be the guest of the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion will browse together, the cow and the bear will be neighbors. The lion shall eat hay like an ox, and the baby shall play by the cobra's den and lay his hand on the adder's lair. What is that saying to me today? I hear it being said, instead of the wolf will be the guest of the lamb, that maybe the Christian will be the guest of the Muslim. Instead of the leopard lying down with the kid, maybe the Israeli and the Palestinian will finally learn to live together. Instead of the calf and the young lion browsing together, I think maybe the Protestant and the Catholic will learn to graze the scriptures together and find a common salvation with each other and stop being in competition with each other. Instead of the cow and the bear being neighbors, I think maybe the rich and the poor, maybe the native-born and the immigrant will learn to be neighbors with each other and to see in one another the common spark of our humanity. Instead of the lion learning to eat hay like an ox, being tamed like an ox, I hear that all of the violence, all of the terrorists, all of the drug dealers, all of the violent and abusive people, all of the tyrannical governments, all of the torture, all of the cruelty of this world will be ended. Humanity will learn to give up its violence. Even the violence within our own families, all of the abuse within our families. The lion shall learn to eat hay like an ox. Violence won't be our tool anymore. And the baby shall play by the cobra's den and lay its hand on the adder's lair. Enemies will learn to be friends. That's how I hear Isaiah today. And when Paul is speaking to the ancient Christians, I hear him speaking to us today, too. I hear him saying words of encouragement and calling us to persevere and endure in our witness to Christ. I hear him saying to us that you might be in one accord and speak with one voice and glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ with one voice, and that you might welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you in the glory of God. I hear that we followers of Christ, everybody who honors the name of Jesus, should be welcoming one another. We should be at peace with one another. We have three voices that are meant to speak to us today. This is how I hear the word of God addressed to me this morning. How do you hear it?